Thanks for checking out the Reveal Vineyard podcast. Our mission is simple. Find God, find others, find yourself. That's it. We hope through these conversations, your spirit will be stirred. For more information on Reveal, you can visit our website at www.revealvineyard.com.
Happy Sunday. It's good to be here. My name is Morgan. I am one of the pastors who's yet to figure out these music stands at Reveal. Only the best. So, I just want to jump right in this morning. Marty is actually on his way to board a cruise. So he is out of town. Him and his better half, Sheila, are getting some much-needed R&R. And so I hope that they have just a really good vacation and just it's relaxing for them. But like I said, we are starting a new series this morning, and I'm pretty excited about it. We are going to be studying the book of Hebrews, specifically in chapter 12. And so we're going to be taking a few verses each week and just working through the chapter. It's a great book. It's loaded with theology. This fan isn't going to work for me. Okay, now we're good. Okay, it's loaded with foundational theology, but what I love about Hebrews is that it's also very practical and just applicable to our everyday lives. And so before we get into Hebrews chapter 12, I just want to talk briefly on the book of Hebrews itself, because it is important to know just a little bit about the book, you know, the context, the time period in which it was written, the author, the audience that the writer was writing to, and the purpose and intention of the book itself. What we do know is that we don't know who the author of Hebrews is. It's actually kind of unknown to this day. There's some speculation among scholars of who it was. Prior to the Reformation, actually, it was known as the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, because Paul wrote many of the letters that were canonized into our New Testament today. But after kind of several years of just examining and comparing Paul's letters that we already have and the writing style of Hebrews, they're very different. And so some scholars think it was the author may have been Apollos. Others believe that the author may have been a woman, which is kind of cool to think about. But if it was a woman, she was probably working under the alias of a man, because if you go back and read some of the Greek language in the text, some of the verbiage is used as a masculine form. So what we do know, though, is that this author was very educated, well-versed in the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, very smart, and a master of the Greek language. And the author was writing to Hebrew Christians, thus the name Hebrews, very intelligent author. So perhaps the audience was second generation Christians who were considering returning to Judaism. At this point in time, it was written between 67 and 70 AD, and the Jewish Christians were undergoing fierce persecution, not just physically, but socially as well, and not just from the Romans, but from the other Jewish believers to revert back to Judaism. And so believers needed at this time to be reassured that Christianity was true, Christ was real, Jesus was the Messiah, and he was the Savior. And so the book kind of starts off more in like sermon essay type style, and it finishes more in letter form. Again, great theology. It's full of encouragement, which I love. And it also, though, gives some warning and caution and counsel to its readers. So some themes in the entire book of Hebrews is the idea that Jesus Christ is absolute supremacy and sufficiency as the revealer and mediator of God's grace. That this Jewish system, which everyone of that time would have been familiar with. So these Jewish systems of, you know, kosher and rituals of sacrifice, they were no longer needed because of the death, atonement, the resurrection, and the ascension of Christ. And so this was really huge for that time period. And the themes that we'll be hitting on specifically in chapter 12 is discipleship, endurance, and keeping the faith. And so let's just dive in this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 12. We are going to be specifically in verses 1 through 3 today. If you didn't bring your Bibles today, that's fine. We'll have them up on the screens for you. But I do just want to encourage you that you try to get in the habit of bringing this. I know sometimes they can be bulky and you have them on your phones, but bring a pen, bring a highlighter. There is something that is just different about having the text in front of you, being able to read it, being able to highlight, mark notes, revert back to it when necessary. And so, like I said, I will be reading from the NIV this morning, and so let's just start with verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. It's good stuff right there. I'm excited for this. So I know that, again, I think we've all experienced on some level or another this idea of wanting to quit. We get tired, we want to throw in the towel. Maybe you're walked in to these walls this morning and you're in a situation where you feel like you want to give up, or maybe you know a friend or a family member who's in a circumstance and they've just exhausted themselves and they're just ready to quit and give up. And this morning, if nothing else, I want you to walk away feeling encouraged through Scripture that God has given you an unstoppable grace. He has placed in you the power to endure whatever it is that you're going through. See, I believe that some of you have walked in today and that you are ready to give up on your marriage, but God's going to speak to you this morning. You're going to walk out these doors, you're going to go back home, and you're going to give it another shot. I also believe that someone else may be here that is ready to end a relationship, specifically with a son or a daughter, and that you've prayed constantly, you've tried to mend this relationship, and it just seems like nothing is happening, that it's irreparable. Sometimes it's even getting worse than it is getting better. And God is going to put you back on your knees in prayer this morning, and you're going to endure, and you're going to keep praying, even though you're not sure that anything is happening, because you trust God. It's someone here may be ready to give up on life, contemplating thoughts of suicide, you know, that you're more afraid of life than you are of death. And God is going to spark in you the will to live again, because Jesus is alive and active in this place this morning. And there is no greater power, hear me, there's no greater power than a God that is living, breathing, and dwelling among us. So let's pray before we continue. Father God, I just want to start with an attitude of thankfulness. Thank you for an unstoppable grace. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you are alive and present. We ask that this place this morning is more than a school or a performing arts center, but a place, a sacred place to give you all of the glory. I ask that you would bless us all with the spirit of endurance to run the race in a way that is pleasing and honoring to you. If there's any weight that needs to be cut, any parasitic sins that are holding us down, I pray that we would be free from those today. May today's scripture solidify in the hearts of us all that you are the God of true, unyielding freedom. Amen. As I stated earlier, Hebrews 12, it's a great chapter of Scripture and just great passages. The last verse, verse 28, the author mentions, and we'll talk about this more in depth in a few weeks, but that we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And that's actually what we've subtitled this series after that verse. And to me, that's exciting that we get to be a part of a kingdom that cannot be shaken, not sitting on the sidelines, not watching it on TV and having somebody else do it, that we get to play, we get to interact. The Message translation on verse 3 of chapter 12 says that this will shoot adrenaline into your souls. And I love that, because when I start reading this, and as I've been reading this week and I've been working on this message, my adrenaline just starts pumping. I get excited of that we have received and are continuing to receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken. So do yourself a favor, make sure that you are here for the remainder of this series. Next Sunday, our very own Stephen Edmonds will be speaking, and it's going to be very good. No pressure, Stephen. You won't want to miss out on these conversations of a kingdom that cannot be shaken, okay? So make sure that you are here. So let's look at this morning's scripture passages. My question for you is, what is going to stop you? What is it that you are going to have to endure? Listen to verses 1 through 3 again, because we can never read scripture too many times in one service. So therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinfulness, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. We've all faced seasons where we've wanted to stop and we've wanted to quit. And if you're not nodding or agreeing with me, you're either lying to yourself or you're not paying attention. So wake up, okay? Finally, some energy. Gosh, about time. You know, but honestly, if I'm transparent with you, I do not always want to get up early on a Sunday morning and lead worship or be back in youth or just endure the craziness of what a Sunday morning looks like. I don't know if that makes you feel insecure about the staff at our church or if it upsets you. Why do y'all laugh at that? That wasn't even my joke. All right, anyway, I don't know. Maybe it makes you feel better about yourself for being grumpy when you roll out of bed on a Sunday morning. I don't know, but it happens to the best of us. You know, I don't always feel like I have what it takes to do what I feel like I'm called to do. And I get tired, I get weary, I lose endurance, I get exhausted. The circumstances of whatever happened midweek, sometimes they just lay heavy on me. And the author of Hebrews is addressing a group of people who are worn out and they are exhausted. And more so, they're being pressured to stop believing in Christ by faith. And when I say pressure, I don't mean that somebody gave you a bad look in the shopping line. I don't mean pressure by a friend thinks you're crazy for attending Reveal Church. I mean homes were being confiscated, brutally punished for having just a faith in Christ. People were saying, just stop naming Christ. Stop standing for righteousness. Stop believing in justification through Christ alone. Just settle. Settle into something that's a little bit more comfortable for you and for everyone else around you. They were being tested. They were being tried. Some were quitting. Some were giving up. They were backing out on their faith. Others were reverting back to Judaism because it seemed easier and they knew the rules and the laws that they needed to follow. Others were trying to stick it out, but it was just becoming so hard to continue enduring. And so the author, he gives them some encouragement and some wisdom. So let's dissect this a little bit. How do we endure when we want to give up? Well, I want to look at three reasons this morning that come from the text of why we give up or we quit. And the first one, number one, is we lose our frame of reference. Again, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything. And I'm going to stop right there. When you see the word therefore, you have to go back and find out what's there for. So, meaning you need to go back and read it in context. And remember, when the books of the Bible were written, they weren't split up into chapters and verses that we see today in our Bible. We did that to help us understand the passages and study it and research it. So the book of Hebrews, is one congruent piece of writing. So what's there for? We need to go back to chapter 11. This is also known as the Hall of Faith chapter. Chapter 11, it starts off, you know, by faith and by faith, by faith, by faith. And so it says by faith. And then the author goes on and lists all these really great people who were heroes of the faith. And they did these great things for God. Noah, Abel, Abraham. He goes on and on about Abraham, Isaac, Joseph, and on it goes. And Rahab, the prostitute, is even thrown in there. And there's hope for somebody this morning, right? If you feel like God can't use you because of your past, they put a prostitute in the same chapter we call the Hall of Faith. They put a prostitute in the same chapter. Father Abraham, who had many sons, had Father Abraham, right? I'm one of them, and so are you, so let's just praise the Lord. Right arm, left arm, boop, 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 boop. Yeah, thank you. There we go. They put a prostitute in the same chapter as Father Abraham. So don't tell me that God can't use your circumstances. Don't count anyone out of the picture, because God's story is never finished in you. It's never finished in you. That was free. So here's what chapter 11 says. Through faith, they conquered kingdoms, they administered justice, and they gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength. That's adrenaline right there for me. That's adrenaline pumping into my soul. See, this is a big pet peeve of mine when people say that Christianity, following Christ, is boring. If you feel like Christianity is boring, might I challenge you that you are the boring one in the relationship? Thank you. Some agreeance right there. I'm feeling it. But seriously, I know it can sound a little harsh, but what I just read, that's not boring to me. It's not boring at all. And if the gospel isn't boring, the only remaining variable in the equation is you. And so maybe you have some introspection to look on, because you are not following what God's best is and what he has intended for your life. So chapter 11 is recalling all of these heroes of the faith. Hebrews 12:1, therefore, since we know these people who did these great awesome things, they were great examples set before us to future believers, we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, everyone listed in chapter 11. Anyone here a World Cup fan? Anyone excited? Oh man, I am so pumped, okay? I played soccer like my entire childhood, and it was my dream to play in the Olympics, in the World Cup, and I was going to be the next Mia Hamm, and it was going to be just this amazing life. And then God went, other plans, not my plans for you. So, and I probably wasn't good enough anyway, but that's a different story. But, so when I'm visualizing this first verse, I'm like visualizing that my team made it to the championship game of the World Cup, right? And of course, I'm the star player. Right? And so the game is like tied with 2 minutes left. The center mid plays a perfect ball to me. I get this breakaway. It's just me and the goalie, one-on-one. I do some fancy footwork. I fake right, goalie takes it, and I jolt back left, and I put that ball in the back of the net, and the team, they come, they tackle me because they're so excited. I just won the game for them. And then, you know, the commentators are going, David's like, did you just see that crazy play? And like Isaac and Jacob and Noah, they start chanting, ole, 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 ole. And this is how I'm picturing it, right? It's all about me. It's this crazy, epic, you know, scene, this great cloud of witnesses, and they're here to watch me and cheer me on. And then, shoot, my dream is squashed yet again. The verse, I go back and I read chapter 11, and in context, I realize that's maybe not quite the point the author is trying to make here. They're not there to watch me. I'm there to watch them. And since they did it, I can do it. See, that's called a frame of reference. It reminds me of the proper perspective, and it keeps our vision clear. Proverbs 29:18 puts it a different way. Without vision, we will die. We'll have the band come up. You know, parents you know, have your parents ever did this, or maybe you are the parent that does this to your kid now, but you know, when your kid doesn't want to finish the food on their plate, you go, there are starving children in Africa that would just love to eat that food. Well, that's a frame of reference, right? That's something that we can revert back to keep our perspective in check. A personal frame of reference for me, my father-in-law, Ivan, he has a neurological and a muscular disease. He was diagnosed about 12 years ago. He's confined to a motorized wheelchair, and reveal, we moved out of our office this week, the great migration, and we were moving stuff into our homes and into a storage facility. If you were there helping, God bless your soul. Thank you so much. But yeah, you can give those guys a round of applause, because it was hot outside. It was really hot. And so we're moving all this stuff. I have just been dreading it. I've been overwhelmed by it. I hate moving. I hate lifting heavy things. And when you're moving, they're always, not only are they heavy, but they're like bulky and really awkward to carry. So I've just been really bad at complaining, not only in my head, but it's been spewing onto others. And as I was preparing this message, God put me back in a frame of reference using my father-in-law. And he says, you need to cut out that complaining, because your father-in-law is in the hospital right now as you're complaining about this, and he'd be ecstatic to use his legs again to get up and walk and move heavy, awkward, bulky things and be on his feet all day and be tired from the heat, but his body will not cooperate with him. That's a frame of reference that puts me back in check of where I need to be. You know, we lose our frame of reference for so many reasons. We get tired, we lose focus, life gets hard, we get distracted. In my case, and I think probably in others too, is we get so self-centered, it becomes more about us than it does others. The list can go on and on. But what the author of Hebrews is saying is, you have a great cloud of witnesses that have gone before you, and if my grace was good enough for them, it's good enough for you. Watch them do it. Observe how they did it. Use this as your frame of reference, and when it gets tough, you need to revert back to them, but don't lose your faith. You have to continually keep your perspective in check. Hebrews 11, like I mentioned, all these great people, these, you know, doing these amazing things for God. And what I didn't mention is that once it hits to verse 35, it says the others, they don't even have names in this chapter. Others were tortured and refused to be released. It's the brave heart chapter of these epic things that are being done for God. And then the others were tortured and refused to be released. The Bible even says they were stoned, they were sawed in two, mistreated, destitute. They wandered in desert and in caves. It's like an episode of Lost, you know, the others that endured great trials. God's word for you is, don't give up. There are some people that have gone before you and they have suffered greatly too. And you are not alone in your suffering. And don't get cocky or start to feel sorry for yourself or play victim, or like me, don't become self-centered. Because God saw them through it, and he will see you through it too. He's given you a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Do you hear me? He's given you a kingdom that cannot be shaken. So don't stop. Keep your faith and endure just enough, just a little longer, because his grace is sufficient and it's enough for us. So I want to give us just some time through song to respond, and maybe we need to reclaim that frame of reference again, that Christ is sufficient, he is enough for us, that in our weaknesses, he can somehow, in this crazy paradox, make it a strength. Now that we have our frame of reference, our perspective in check, let's continue on with scripture. Another reason why we quit is, number two, we get weighed down or tripped up. Continuing on in verse 1, it says this, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. You know, reading that scripture, I think that most people, they don't try intentionally to get entangled in sin. It's usually not intentional. We just get weighed down, we get tripped up, we lose focus. And the author uses this running analogy, and I know there's some runners here this morning. Yeah, and they're representing, they're a strong crew. And they could probably relate to this analogy better than I can. And I don't claim to be a runner. Like I said, I grew up playing soccer, so if I was running, I was usually chasing something. But Last month, I had the opportunity, I participated in my first 5K, and it wasn't, you know, super intense or anything like that. It was the Color Dash. But I did happen to get into some pretty intense competition along the way, and I happened to blow everyone out of the water. So I was fortunate. Somebody got a picture, and they sent it to me, so I want to show you all that. Okay, so they're two-dimensional, and I beat them, but it's the small victories that count, and I like to set the bar really low for myself so that when I do something, it feels good to me. Anyway, you can take that off the screen right there. But, yeah, I don't even know where I'm at anymore. I don't know what to say about that. So anyway, we have this, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. Another translation says that we need to throw off every weight. We need to cut weight, throw off anything that weighs us down. It says throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. So that must mean, because of that and, that there are some things that aren't even sins in my life, but I still need to get rid of them. When I was running this 5K, Chris, one of the guys that was running with us, he said at one point, he's like, don't drink a lot of water. Just like swish it around in your mouth, get your mouth wet, and then spit it back out. And that's true, and I remember that in soccer too. You didn't want to consume a lot of water because you get a cramp, and then that would just end up holding you back further than where you had with that water. You know, and even think about it when you're running, it's not like you want to carry a bunch of water on your back because it just weighs you down. It's dead weight. See, we all know that water isn't a sin. There's nothing bad about water. But in this situation, it's dead weight, it's excess, and it needs to be cut. You see where I'm going here? The author says throw everything off, not some things, everything off that hinders. In 1 Corinthians, Paul puts it another way. He says everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. And I think we find ourselves far too often asking the wrong question. Is it wrong or is it right? Is it good or is it bad? Is it sin or is it not sin? You know, a question that I've heard a lot in youth is, how far can I go with my boyfriend or my girlfriend before it's considered sin? We're asking the wrong questions. What we need to be asking is it wise? Is it wise for me to have this in my life? And I'm not here to get moralistic on any of you, but we need to start asking that question. Is it wise? I think our answers, when we ask that question, become easier and more simplistic, and more so, it gives room for the Holy Spirit to speak to us and to move in us. And so we need to stop justifying. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us, and we need to cut whatever dead weight is holding us back. The Holy Spirit is even speaking to some of you now. Everything is permissible, but that does not mean that it's beneficial for you. See, culture tells us quite the opposite, that the way to be free is to do whatever you feel like doing. The author of Hebrews says, I've already looked down that road, I've seen that tunnel, and that is not freedom, my friends. That is what we call bondage. It just tangles you up. It's just dead weight. It's fat on your body. It's the muffin top, you know? It's just most people who think that following God's commands is a burden, and I've learned that living contrary to God's commands is the greatest burden of all. See, that means that there are some things in your life and in my life that they got to go, right? We need to cut weight. Anything that's keeping you from the higher calling of what God has for you, it's got to go, because that means it's not as best for you. It means you're not living in freedom. If you don't cut weight, you'll never be able to do the things that God has called for you to do. You know, you have to begin the process of stripping everything down that hinders you. If whatever is in your life isn't pushing you towards a more vibrant and stronger walk with God, it's a distraction, it slows you down, it's extra weight, causes you to lose your vision and your frame of reference in the process. So why do we lose faith? Number three is we lose sight of the object of our focus. Verse 2, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. See, Jesus, according to the scripture, should be the object of my focus, the hope for my endurance. Jesus is the author and he's the perfecter of my faith. This combination of words is only in this time period is only used in the Bible. You won't see it in any other literature that's written during this time period. Why? Because Jesus, he's in a class all by himself that nobody even wants to try to compare themselves to. Nobody else you can call the author and the perfecter, the finisher. Other translations say that he's the developer of our faith. Endure because Jesus is the builder of your faith and your life. And when you know the builder, you can have complete confidence in the quality of his work. When you know that he's the one at the foundation of the world, superintending the foundation that was poured of the galaxies, surely he can build your life according to spec. He will not fail, he will not falter, and he finishes what he started because he's a good God, he's a faithful God, and he's a builder. He's the builder of your life if you will allow him to be. Some of you, you need a new foundation, but if he built something in you, you can put confidence in it. And you've got this great thing called called a warranty. It's called the Bible. The builder has reassured me that anything in his house, he started it, he built it, and he stands by it, and this kingdom cannot be shaken. Granted, some of you are thinking, God's the builder, but I got some termites up in these walls. Here's the good news. You know the builder. And if you call on him, he'll come, he'll knock those walls out if necessary. You don't have to sit in destruction. He can use it all for something that is greater than you would ever imagine. You need to know your foundation. Everything starts to shake and quake in our lives. You need to know who the builder is and where your foundation lies. God is your builder if you'll allow him to be. He is the author and the perfecter. He is your frame of reference. He is the object of your focus. And only Jesus can be so competent to be called the author and our editor. And he looks at my life and he says, not only were you my idea, not only did I fit you together in your mother's womb before one of your days came to be, but I am the editor who makes sure that the finished product is what I intended it to be. So if I cut something out, I'm just creating the final version. And when we lose sight of the object of our focus, we lose our frame of reference and we forget that he's the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He's the starter and the finisher and everything else in between because he's more than enough and he's my everything. And he who began a good work in me will do the same thing to you because he's faithful to complete what he started. Are you hearing me? You just don't quit. You just can't stop. You can't stop, won't stop. Running this 5K, one of us, we get tired. And again, we ran together as a team, accountability. Look for that in the Bible too, because it's all over. And you know what we would say when somebody gets tired? Just don't stop. Don't stop. You can, you know, you just can't stop. You can jog lightly if you need to. You can walk it out with your heads up, with your hands above your head, but you can't stop. Because when you stop, it makes it a lot harder to pick back up again. We need our foundations to be in Christ. We need the object of our focus to be in Christ. And I know when you're tired and when you're stressed and when you're worn out, you have to keep your eyes above the waves. You just can't stop. So we're going to have some time for just you to speak with God, some ministry time. And we just need to allow ourselves to refocus. What is our focus? What is my foundation? Some of you have never even had your foundation poured properly. And you need to start from scratch. And that comes with the basic fundamental belief in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Because we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame. He didn't just endure, he mocked at its shame, and he spit death in the face, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You guys can have a seat. Why did Jesus endure the cross? For the joy set before him. That's what our scripture says today. What was the joy set before him? The glory of his Father and the salvation of your soul. I want you all to say this out loud with me. I was the joy set before Jesus. See, next time that you want to give up, you think about how he didn't give up on you. And not only did he give up on you, but you were the joy set before him. Some of you, you need to set this as a reminder in your phones to have a little text or something pop up every day that you were the joy set before Jesus. Maybe you need to write this on the mirror in your bathroom. I was the joy set before Jesus. Not just anyone, but you. Bill, you were the joy set before Jesus. And Karen, you were the joy set before Jesus. Rhonda, you were the joy set before Jesus. Faith, you were the joy set before Jesus. Dave, you were the joy set before Jesus. He endured the cross. He scorned its shame. And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then in verse 3, we're given an instruction. You are given an instruction. I'm given an instruction. It says to consider him. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you and I will not grow weary and lose heart. See, I can boldly and humbly say that I, Morgan Huff, was the joy set before Jesus. But now, with that verse in hand, he's the joy that's set before me. It's a game changer. It takes the object off of myself and it puts the focus back onto Jesus. And if Jesus is the joy set before me, and I'm enduring, and I'm persevering, and I'm suffering, and I'm exhausted, and I don't think I can get out of bed in the mornings, I still get him. And if I have him, I have it all. I know we've discussed a lot today, and I know that God has revealed and has started working in some areas in your life that need to be continued on outside of this hour service. Some of you, you need to go home and you need to reevaluate. You've lost your frame of reference, maybe because you're tired or you're worn out, and there's some areas in your life that you need to go home and you need to get a proper perspective. Maybe the negativity or the constant complaining is something that hit you and you've got that frame of reference now. Your focus needs to be fixed on Jesus. It needs to be taken off of yourself. Others, you need to throw off what it is that's hindering you from God's best for your life. It's dead weight and it needs to go. Those parasitic sins, they're destroying you. They're holding you back. It's got to go. For some, you've taken your focus off Jesus and you need to fix your eyes on who the builder is. You need to go back to your foundation. Maybe you need to set a new foundation completely. Regardless of where you're at in life, I want you to walk away encouraged this morning because you serve a God who will not let your story remain unfinished. And you need to be reminded that you were the joy set before Jesus. I know that life can be exhausting. I know it can be tough. I know it can be overwhelming and we feel like we're drowning and we want to give up and we want to quit. But keep fighting. Keep fighting. Your endurance to keep the faith will be rewarded. I promise you that. Because we have received a kingdom that cannot be shaken. So don't give up. Don't quit. Don't stop fighting. Can't stop, won't stop. Pray with me. God, we know that life, to even say it's hard, is an understatement sometimes. And the race that has been set before us can be so hard to endure. And so I just ask that everyone here this morning would walk away feeling encouraged and empowered because we have all received a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And for that, it gives us that second wind, that breath of fresh air that we need to continue on and going and pushing forward. God, I want your best for every single person in this room, even everyone outside of these walls, Lord. God, if there's anything that's hindering us, God, we need that to be revealed to us. God, I just, as a church body, I want us to be the encouragement that can go out into the world and share this good news because we are a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And so I ask that you would just be with everyone for the remainder of this day as we continue on in our week when Tuesday hits and life is really hard again. And this message isn't as fresh as it was, that we can go back, we can read your scripture. We can keep our frame of reference. We can keep our focus on you, the author and the perfecter, and know that we were the joy that was set before Jesus, and now he is the joy that's set before us. I ask all of these things in your glorious and wonderful name. Amen. Guys, thank you so much for coming this morning. If you are new or you would like prayer for something, I would love to meet you. We'll have some other leaders or staff down here as well. So be blessed. Have a great Sunday. Take care.